Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. Two times in 1 week.
I know.
It's a big week for us.
Go figure. I see Lee once a week, but this week I've already seen him twice.
I know. It's only Wednesday.
We did a video together yesterday for theultimate.com, so when it's up, we'll have to let our listeners know.
Exactly. I'll be on the website. And we had a great event last week.
We did. My goodness. I couldn't believe how many people were at our Radio X networking event.
I know. Well, I think it was close to 200, I'd say.
It had to have been close to 200. And thank you so much to all the listeners that voted for me as their favorite
radio host. That's
right,
and there's your trophy right there.
My trophy.
I'm
going to
bring that home with you.
But you know what? Most importantly, Lee, it was the bragging rights. Yeah. Winning the competition with all those other radio hosts, and they like to talk smack. And I was quiet all night, as you saw.
I saw that. And that means that you get to pick the charity for the next winner.
Terrific. Next mixer, which is next quarter, I get to pick the charity. And you know I'm going to pick Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
I thought you might.
Absolutely. So we have that to look forward to. But Lee, we're starting a little late today because there's so much synergy in this room and so much excitement because we're talking about going green. And for our listeners that might be a little green when it comes to going green, after the next 40 minutes or 45 minutes, they're going to definitely feel like they have at least a plan and maybe some resources, and I'm excited. Let's get going, Lee. Again, thanks to our listeners for listening all about going green. First up this morning, we have Charles Cohn from So-and-So Energy. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you, Amy. Glad to be here.
So, So-and-So Energy, first of all, very catchy. It must be an acronym for something.
Yes, it is. Our company's full name is Southern Environmental Solutions, and our website and our email address, we shortened it when we applied for it to So-and-So, S-O-E-N-S-O, which is an acronym for Southern Environmental Solutions.
Tell us about it. On your business card, it says renewable energy dealers and installers, solar thermal, solar PV, and wind turbines, which those wind turbines are so cool. Tell us, you know, how do you work with folks?
Okay, we are dealers and installers of those three renewable energy technologies that Amy mentioned. We are dealers and installers of solar thermal, which is water heating. We do commercial and residential. It uses the sun's power to preheat water for your home or business. It does not completely eliminate a water heater, but it supplies preheated water to your water heater or your boiler, whatever's in your business, and it can reduce your energy consumption for water heating by about 75% to 80%.
Wow, that's pretty significant. So are you working just with businesses, or are you working with individuals on residential as well?
We do residential and business.
Okay.
And where's the most interest right now?
The most interest for solar thermal is residential in new home construction. They can be retrofitted into existing homes, but if it's a new construction, it makes for a much easier and simpler installation.
So I know effective July 1st of 2008, there was a clean energy income tax credit. Can you address that?
Yes, in the state of Georgia, there's now a 35% income tax credit for residential and commercial, and that it's for solar PV, solar thermal, and wind energy. There's different caps on it for commercial and residential, but we have information about that on our website. It's probably a little too lengthy to explain the details, but generally speaking, it's a 35% income tax credit on state income tax. And also, in addition to that, there's already an existing 30% federal income tax credit. And those don't offset each other. They're like cumulative. So, in effect, you could conceivably get a total of 65% of your total cost for renewable energy offset by income tax credits.
Terrific. You know, that's something I really want our listeners to check out, because there are tax credits for and incentives for folks to go green. I know our listeners love to hear stories. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about the Lenfoot Hike Inn and what y'all just recently did there?
Okay, I appreciate you asking about that. The Lenfoot Hike Inn is a backwoods inn up in North Georgia in Dawson County near Dawsonville. It's on the grounds of the Imokalola Falls State Park. The only way to get to it is by hiking trail. It's like a 5-mile hiking trail, so people hike up there to it. You stay overnight, hike around up there, and then come back home. And they have a bunkhouse, they have a bathhouse, and a dining room. They serve excellent, hearty meals up there. And in their bathhouse, it's a green facility already. It's about 10 years old, and it's already a LEED Gold certified facility. Mm-hmm. So they have, they already have solar PV. They have composting toilets. They have worm culture, where worm beds digest a lot of their waste and turn it into fertilizer and that sort of thing. So they wanted to add solar thermal water heating for their bathhouse. So we went up there. We didn't hike up the trail with with our equipment. They do have a service road. We were able to get up close to the facility, and we installed a solar thermal water heating system on the bathhouse of the Linfoot hike-in. So now when you hike up there and you're ready to take a shower, it's heated, compliments to the sun.
That is so neat, Lee.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Isn't it? We got to learn more about that Linfoot hike-in. That sounds interesting,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's a great facility. It's run by a nonprofit organization. It's on the grounds of the state park, but it's actually operated by a nonprofit, and it is just a wonderful place to go up there and visit.
What a neat partnership you had with them. So if our listeners are wondering how you could help them, are there any specific key words that they should be looking for? I mean, major companies are looking to go green. How could you help them?
Okay, for companies to go green, right now there are, in addition to the income tax credits we talked about, there are grant programs in effect that percentage-wise, they're the same as the income tax credits, but companies can take advantage of these grant programs. It's not for residential, but it's for, generally speaking, it's for for-profit companies. And, for example, if a company installs, say, just for easy math, if you install, say, a $100,000 solar system, a company could conceivably get a 30% grant from the federal government, which would be, in this case, $30,000, and the state of Georgia also has just initiated a grant program that's administered by GEFA, the Georgia Environmental Facilities Authority, and that is, generally speaking, a 35% grant. The advantage of grants, or it's a rebate, they're calling it in the state of Georgia, but the advantage of grants or rebates over income tax credit is you get your money generally within 60 to 90 days after the solar installation is complete, mm-hmm. as opposed to having to wait till next year when you're filing income tax returns.
Wow. Hopefully that's gotten people's interest. I know it definitely gets mine when you talk about grants and tax credits. And I know it's something so many people want to do is going green, but everybody's always concerned about the cost, upfront cost. Charles, I would love to talk to you more, but I know our listeners are going to be intrigued by your website. Can you give that to them?
Yes, our website is www.soandso.com. That's SOENSO.com.
And we didn't even get on the wind energy.
We didn't get on the wind. There's, if you want to see a wind turbine, well, let me say that the state of Georgia is very good for solar energy. Some people say we don't have renewable energies. We're on par with most of Florida for solar.
Wow.
Wind, parts of Georgia are very good for wind up in the mountains and down on the coast. And here around Atlanta, we have a small residential, small commercial wind turbine that does produce electricity in lower wind speeds, and there's one installed and operating at 6 feet under restaurant.
I saw that. It's so bizarre looking.
Yeah, it's on 11th Street, that west of Midtown, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's that part of 11th between Northside Drive and Howell Mill Road, mm-hmm. overlooking the waterworks if you want to see a wind turbine.
Either that or just drive through Kansas, and they're everywhere.
Well, yeah, those are different. Those are huge utility-grade wind farms. Now, mm-hmm. that part of the country lends itself to that because they have much higher wind speeds than we do.
But here in Georgia, where we have lots of sunshine, people need to reach out and find how they can make their business or their home more efficient through solar energy. Thanks for being with us today, Charles.
Well, my pleasure, Amy. Thank you.
And really, there's so much to learn. We hope our listeners will reach out and contact you and find out more. Gosh, Lee, I could talk to him all day especially about the wind energy.
Exactly.
You know, I inherited some land from my grandma, and we're looking at putting some
turbines
on it right now, and it's been really interesting learning about that. And how they work and just how much power you can get from them. And in a place like Kansas where it's so flat and so windy, it's really interesting. I could chat about that all day, as you can tell. All right, next up this morning we have Eric Tabb. And Eric, I'm anxious to hear about your business with Varis. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks, Amy.
So what do you do?
We help businesses look at their carbon emissions and figure out ways to turn that into an asset. A lot of people look at the fact that they create carbon, CO2 and CO2 greenhouse gases as a negative, especially with upcoming legislation. And what we say to them is, no, you can turn this into something really positive, turn it into an asset that can help your business.
So are there certain companies that are more suitable for this?
It's interesting. There are companies that can get different kinds of solutions from us. For example, we've got smaller companies like restaurants or retail that just go carbon neutral. In fact, we did a carbon neutral zone in Virginia Highlands, the first one in the country. And we got 18 stores, which are mostly retail and restaurants, to look at their carbon footprint, offset it with a local Georgia forestry project, and create the first carbon neutral zone, basically creating everything they create in a year in carbon, they've gotten rid of via a forestry project that takes the same amount of carbon out of the environment.
Wow. So balancing the risks against opportunity. It's complex. Can you break it down a little bit?
Sure. What we can do is it's a huge asset because people do care about being green and do care about doing the right thing for the environment. And what people and companies can do is not only look at how much pollution they're creating and how much carbon they're creating, they can figure out a solution for fixing it and then communicate that to their stakeholders. So we've seen clients, for example, we have Carrie Lim of Atlanta is a client of ours, and they looked at their emissions from all their fleet, and they said, listen, we're creating carbon by what we do. The best thing that we can do is offset it by investing in a project that takes a similar amount of carbon out of the environment. So they did that, and their whole fleet is carbon neutral, and via that they've gotten more business from certain companies in the city of Atlanta and other places because they've said that they're a green company. We've also helped a company that's a buildings products company, and what they do is they create a building product that's less carbon intensive than their competitors. So what they said is, we want to look at an analysis to compare ourselves to our competitors so we could say that we're being less carbon intensive and we have a greener product. So we did a life cycle analysis for them.
The thing that confuses me is, if you have a company that, say, is putting out a lot of emissions, it's kind of like you get kind of a guilt credit, you know, by just buying some green stuff in another location, nowhere near your place, and then you're like even.
I could see why people think that, and it is an obvious first step. But when you actually think about it, you think of it more of a mess. If you create a mess by creating this carbon, you're finding a way to clean it up. Think of it as a vacuum cleaner. With trees, it's a vacuum cleaner. That tree is.
But you're not cleaning up your mess. You're just getting clean somewhere else.
Well, the argument is, if the air, what you're doing is putting something up in the air, in the environment, and then you're taking it out of the environment in another location. The nice thing about working with the air is that the air you breathe here is related
to the... It's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected. So an offset, if you think about it, is really just the opportunity to clean a mess. If you want to feel guilty, you can, but we're not telling you that you should feel guilty because you've spilled this much milk on the ground and then you wiped up that much milk. So you should be comfortable that you've reacted to...
So you've done the best you can.
Exactly.
You've made it kind of back and balance.
But Lee, you make an excellent point, and that's something else we talk to our clients about, is we don't just say, you created this much carbon, you should buy this much offsets. We also give them suggestions and develop ways for them to reduce the carbon they're creating.
Right.
We have people who have fleets of trucks, and we've moved them towards biodiesel, which has less carbon in the environment. We talk to them about energy efficiency things, and we do some energy audits. So what we're really saying to them is, we want you to reduce as much as possible, but at the end of the day, we all still plug into the wall, and we all still drive cars that use gas, so we should react to that as well.
Absolutely. So what types of companies do you like to work with?
Well, that's the great thing. We like to work with manufacturers on their carbon footprint. We like to work with retail and restaurants because their clients care. We have a great company called Service Foods, which delivers food, organic natural foods, to people's homes. And they use biodiesel and biodegradable packaging and everything like that. And we worked with them to make them carbon neutral because they wanted to go the next step to show their commitment to being green.
Now, how do companies go about publicizing the fact that they're supporting clean energy and development with this CO2 reduction?
That's a great question, and we work very hard to do that. We have a seal, which, by the way, we have a seal that just says you're carbon neutral, that you put on your products, on your vehicles, on your door. We also help them craft a press release wording for their website. Mm-hmm. My business partner, Andrew Keenan, helps them figure out ways to market the fact that they're green. And we've had clients who've been picked up in the AJC, the Associated Press, CNN, for their green effects. And Service Foods is a great one because they got picked up, I think it was in Food and Drink magazine, and was part of it was discussing their green efforts.
Can you share, maybe you have a story that somebody that was surprising to you that would be interested in this, that maybe you didn't think that they would be open to this kind of discussion, that they kind of jumped on board?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is we've got many restaurants which right now in this economic environment are kind of constrained. And what they've done is they said, listen, we're interested in looking at this carbon footprint and doing a reduction. But it took me a second to think of this one, was Half Moon Outfitters. Half Moon Outfitters used the ability to measure their carbon footprint as a way to get their employees motivated to commute in a greener fashion. Hmm. And they started as a competition within the store of who's going to get there by biking, by walking, by driving. So it's a great way to motivate employees, get buy-in within your own company, and to look at what you've done. So, Carrie Limo is one that just always jumps out at me because all they do is create carbon by driving, and the fact that they recognized that and wanted to react to that was kind of a very big, exciting thing for us.
Yeah. Now, is this, like, at the beginning stages of this, when you're having that initial conversation, is the first thing you do is kind of audit to see how much carbon that they're emitting? Is that the first step?
Yes, exactly. What we do is we give them a questionnaire, and then we can work from the data they give us or averages from our own database. So if you tell me you have a radio studio, I can figure out what your average carbon is with no information. But if you start to give me information with your fuel bills, your transportation, things like that, then I get a better example. And what we find is the more data we get, the better someone's footprint looks.
Right. Mm-hmm. But
with the audit, I would imagine. I mean, like you said, manufacturing would definitely be one that it would probably be complex to audit, but having someone with the expertise that you have would be beneficial.
But not only do they benefit from the standpoint of having less emissions, like you can help them have less emissions, you can offset existing emissions, and then you can help them in their marketing to position themselves as a green company, so they benefit in multiple ways.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share?
Your
website's great, too, by the way.
Oh, thanks. If you want more information, it's www.verus-co2.com, verus-co2.com. And what I just want to tell people is you'll find it's not as expensive or onerous as you would initially expect. A lot of our clients, the most amazing thing they find is that it's not very expensive, and the bang for their buck is quite impressive. So they find that that what they expected was a number that's very high, and when we actually come in and we do a measurement and we talk to them, they find out they're actually not polluting quite as much as they may have thought, and they tend to not find the expense as high as they would have initially thought. So, you know, come check us out, and we're happy to just discuss it with people.
Terrific. Thanks for being with us today. So at this point, some of our listeners are probably thinking, so this is all about business. This doesn't affect me because I don't own a business. I'm not a big business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. But everybody has a home, and even you could go green in your home as well. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Dale Ledbetter from Spray Foam, who's going to talk to us a little bit about how we can save energy through the insulation. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy. Nice to be here.
So, Dale, spray foam, it sounds very basic, but tell us how you have gone green and how you help other people go green.
Well, what we've been doing over the last 15 years, we actually spray a polyurethane foam insulation. Most of our work is residential. We do agricultural and commercial work also. The product is basically stops air infiltration and humidity infiltration into the house, and is a thermal break in the wall or the structure of the building. So the difference between fiberglass and foam is that fiberglass is actually trying to work as an airborne insulation, and it tries to use air to insulate our buildings. The problem that we run into is that when the air becomes extreme, whether it's cold or hot, the fiberglass does not insulate well anymore. And so if we take a look at high-efficiency products that we have in our homes now, refrigerator, freezers, hot water heaters, and we looked inside those units in the walls, what we'll find is a closed-cell polyurethane foam that stops thermal transfer from occurring through the wall cavity. And that our houses deal with the same type temperatures as those units that we have in our houses deal with, whether it be in the summertime in an attic or crawl spaces or basements in the wintertime are much colder. And so what we're trying to do is stop the air infiltration from outside, but also stop the air that we're producing within the home from meeting in the wall cavity. And if the cold air, say outside, or the hot air outside meet with the air that we're producing in the house, in the wall, we actually create dew point, which is a negative aspect. And that's why our units tend to run in our houses all day long, because what they're trying to actually do first and foremost is remove the humidity within the house.
So is this foam, can you just spray it all in your attic?
We can. Most of the time what we do in attics is actually spray against the roof line. So right now, if you went in, traditional insulation is sprayed onto the ceiling
right,
of the house.
Right on the on the ground.
Right, and the problem with that is we could go up in an attic today at any place in Atlanta and easily reach temperatures of 150 degrees.
Right, in the attic.
In the attic.
Right.
And a big practice with the builders here, of course, is putting the HVAC unit in the attic. And you've got a bunch of metal ducts running around that are conductive. And
so that just makes it even worse.
That makes it worse. So you're trying to produce, say, 70-degree air, and you're moving it through an area that's 150 degrees.
Right.
It doesn't work too well.
It's not a good system.
So when we go against the roof line with the foam, we can actually reduce attic temperatures down to 84 degrees, pretty much constant.
So you just go in there, and then instead of putting it on the ground, you just go right
against.
And it adheres to the roof line?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And so you just spray the entire inside of the attic?
We spray, yeah, and the way we look at a house is we're trying to stay on the complete perimeter of the house or the building itself.
Mm-hmm.
That way we create an envelope around the house,
right,
and we're not letting any pockets of hot or cold air into the house.
What do you typically see as far as someone's return on investment? Because I know a lot of people are listening and they say, yeah, it sounds expensive, sounds like it would be great to do, but how long is it going to take before I see a return on my investment?
We don't hear back from a lot of people that tell us, you know, things like that. But we did do a house for a gentleman up in Marietta, Georgia, who was with the fire department. He was actually in fire investigations, and he called back. And the thing is most people, of course, are moving into a larger home. So his only comparison was the house that he was living in before.
Right.
And he said that he had his money back in his pocket within 8 months, and he was just comparing the bills from the old house, from the bills to the new house, and what the foam cost him. And really what you're getting with the foam is, you know, depending on how good your windows and doors are, of course, because that's a lot of penetrations in the wall, we see about a 40 or 50% reduction in monthly energy consumption.
Now, is this something that you go and spray, or you give the client the foam and they do it themselves?
No, I go out and spray it.
Mm-hmm.
I have spent the last 6 years training companies and distributing product, but I felt, I really wanted to get back in to the installation.
And that way you can maintain the quality, I'm sure.
Exactly. And it takes a lot of equipment, and that's where we see some of the problems. Some guys get into this and they can't keep the equipment up. But I mean, if it's done correctly, it's an excellent product.
Is this something you do at one time and then you're done?
You're done. It's
wow.
It won't settle. It won't crack. And you get some nice benefits from it because it is a rigid product. It doubles the structural strength of the house, which you're really not looking for, but you're just it's just an added benefit.
Right.
It's the only insulation that is a true vapor barrier and an air barrier that we're putting into a house. So, you know, in Georgia, especially in the southeast, with the humidity that we have, it's key. And in the southeast, generally, you'll see that we use more energy than most parts of the United States mm-hmm. because we actually heat and cool our homes. If we go out west, Montana, Wyoming, where right. foam has been predominant for 30 years because of their winters, they don't have air-conditioned systems. So, you know, we spend a lot more than other parts of the country trying to condition our homes.
So you work with residential, commercial, and industrial-type clients. Can you give out your website so folks can find out a little bit more about the product?
Yeah, it's www.sprayfoamllc.com.
And we definitely hope our listeners will reach out. I mean, that's something everybody can use. And learn more about your product and how they can be more energy efficient within their home or business with spray foam. Thanks for being with us today, Dale.
Thank you.
Next up this morning, we have from Echo Shredding, Travis Hussing. And, you know, Lee, when you think about it, every single individual, every household, every business has information and things that they need to shred. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Travis.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
So tell us about Echo Shredding.
Eco Shredding is an eco-friendly mobile document destruction company. We come to residential and do commercial. We come to your place of business or your residence and do all your shredding on site. So, you know, you have peace of mind.
Now, what makes it green?
We recycle every bit of shredded paper we take.
Okay. Because it's funny. It's almost like an oxymoron. People are thinking about going green and not printing stuff out, but you're still going to need paper, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And some of those documents need to be saved for a certain amount of time before they're destroyed.
Right. Any medical and, you know, financial papers have to be saved.
Okay. So this recycled paper, tell us the process. I mean, do you come out to my home or business and shred, or do I have to load big boxes?
Right. Do you have a truck or something?
Yes. We have a truck. Comes to your house. I load them up in bins and dump them in the truck. You can watch it shred right there on the side of the truck. It's a brand new truck. It's pretty sophisticated. And then once the truck is full, I take it to a recycling center, dump it, and, you know, all that gets made into virgin pulp and, or not virgin pulp, but gets remade into cardboard and tubes and, you know, everything like that.
Neat. Very neat. So do you know if you're, I mean, it sounds like you know, there's a lot of shredding companies, obviously, but have you found a niche in the area? I mean, are there people that will call you just because they want to go green with their shredding?
Yes, ma'am. A lot of people in this day and age, you know, love the idea of going green and love to, you know, have, you know, people come out and do on-site as opposed to off-site. And, you know, a lot of, you know, the eco name is, you know, one of our primary, you know, aspects of the company.
Within Eco Shredding, how have y'all gone green within your company?
We have one truck right now. I would like to talk to Eric about, you know, changing to biodiesel. That's definitely something mm-hmm. I like in my near future. As of right now, it's just a diesel truck, and we would like to, you know, improve our carbon footprint.
So you've been around a year?
Yes, ma'am.
And what types of things are you noticing in that year? I mean, the first year is usually a growing year. I mean, is there anything that surprised you about the company, about the business?
A lot of people, you know, are happy to see me when I show up. A lot of people have storage units of all these saved documents, and, you know, they're happy to clean them out as opposed to, and also, you know, happy to know that they're destroyed properly and know that, you know, they're not going into a landfill and they're being, you know, recycled and reused.
I would imagine, because anybody that has a bunch of paper probably feels really guilty already.
Right.
But some of that, like you said, medical documents and financial documents, you have to save for a certain amount of time.
Right. Yeah. So you go to homes too, so you pull up in their driveway, I guess?
Yes. If you don't like us to be in the driveway, we park on the street.
Right. But then, like, do you help them go to the basement with big bins?
I usually take care of everything.
Is that part of the service? Or
I take care of everything. You know, they can point it out. I mean, we would like if it was on the ground floor, but
right.
Either way, I take care of it all.
And so what's the craziest thing you ever shredded? Was like, dude, you go to a house and you're like, how do these people live?
Kind of some of these storage units get pretty packed out. I don't understand how some of these people put all these
file boxes on top of file box.
Oh, yeah. Old. I mean, I've seen, you know, stuff from before I was born.
Wow.
That needs to be shredded.
That's funny.
I bet. I mean, some people are pack rats, and they just save all of that.
Right.
But now with the electronic age, people are trying to scan it and keep it all on
right.
on a disk or something. Wow. definitely a need for your service and for your product. How can people reach you?
You could go to our website at www.ecoshredding.com, and or our number is right there on the homepage, and give us a call. We are, you know, a small business right now, and we have, you know, very personal service.
So. And then, so from when they call you to when you show up, is that a week, a few days, or it could be?
Usually, we can schedule it within a couple of days.
Wow, that's great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So no delaying.
No, sir.
You got that, Amy?
I got that. Thanks for being with us today, Travis. Something tells me that by looking at you, you probably carry some of those boxes yourself. Part of your workout plan, I imagine.
That's it.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And you know, Lee, when people are getting their paper shredded and they're going to Eco Shredding, we certainly hope that that recycled paper gets made into something that you can use. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show with Indoff Office Products. We have Jeff Hicks. Welcome.
Thanks, Sam.
So, Jeff, you know, the Going Green, you are someone in the Atlanta community that your name constantly gets brought up. Whenever we look for experts on Going Green, your name gets brought up over and over again. So we're glad that you could join us this morning. But first of all, tell us about Indoff and your green sustainability products type things.
Sure. When I help companies, especially in this economy, sustainability for most businesses as far as business products goes, in this day and age, means financial sustainability. Indoff is a $130 million supplier, and I pipeline my clients to a $4.5 billion wholesaler. And so the first step is usually let's save money, reduce costs, and then let's look at investing that savings back into buying more ecologically sustainable products.
So when you talk about office products, what are the recyclable products?
Well, there's really, you have inflows and outflows. You're buying products that have been recycled, and then you want to recycle the products that you have. So you want to buy things that are have been recycled and then can be recyclable, and I go through a process with my clients that it's really kind of a five-step process, the financial sustainability being first. We look at earth, air, fire, and water is kind of the way that I like to break that out. Earth being recycling, water being, you know, what do you do in terms of your water usage, and then fire being energy reduction products, things like smart power strips and so on that businesses can use to kind of in conjunction with some of the things that others have spoken with here, and then air being publicizing and promoting your company, like you'll be talking to Sandra here at Southeast Green, finding ways that you can get your company and what you're doing out to the community so that people can find companies that buy sustainable and ecologically friendly products, and companies that have the same, share the same values that they do.
So I would imagine if I come to your house, you might have Post-its all over, but they're all recyclable?
They are.
And recycled?
They are. I spent 4 years serving on the board of directors of the Dogwood Alliance. It's an environmental nonprofit up in Asheville, North Carolina. They fight the good fight and basically are protecting our southern forests, which are really the breadbasket, more or less, for the paper industry and the paper mills. So I don't use a lot of Post-it notes. I try to reduce paper as much as possible and certainly print on both sides and all of that. But paper being 35% of a company's expenditure is really where you want to focus first, and getting companies to really look at their paper usage. Best way to save money on paper is to stop using it as much as possible.
Now, what about like all the batteries that we use?
Batteries are a good one. You know, there are rechargeable batteries. There's different, obviously, energy sources. They are obviously one of those things, too, that end up in a landfill and can be very toxic to our environment. So, again, I look at batteries as being one of the necessary evil for a lot of the products that we use, from dictaphones to, you know, everything, camera batteries and so on. So, you got to buy them, but yeah, you have to dispose of them responsibly.
Do you help with the printer cartridges?
Absolutely.
That's a big recyclable.
Absolutely. One of my favorite products right now is coming out of Massachusetts, Soyprint, a company that does now for several HP machines, some Lexmark printers, and a couple of Canon models. They've developed a printer cartridge that is soy-based ink for laser printers. It's the only company right now that is providing that. It's 3 liters of oil go into every single toner cartridge.
Right.
And if you imagine, we go through 100 million cartridges a year in this country. That is 300 million liters of oil if we'd switch to soy. Talk about
the savings right there.
The savings, and you know, what would that do to our whole overall energy strategy, our oil dependence? It's an absolutely huge impact. And so supporting that company, and right now they're providing those cartridges at a very similar price point.
Really?
Wow. And so it's one of those things where it's
a no-brainer.
It's really a no-brainer.
Uh-huh.
I think so often that is the case. You know, you said that it's being offered at almost a comparable price because people do want to make a difference. They do want to go green, but oftentimes it's more expensive.
That's
How
true.
Crazy
or
is that?
Or it's more of a hassle to deal with.
But
that's
when you work with your clients, you actually deliver the message as to how using these products can help bring the cost down. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's there are certain products that are, you know, like the energy power saving strips and things like that. I think the really, you know, my struggle in this industry and in this day and age, my competition and basically I think the model that's broken is the loss leader copy paper.
Mm-hmm.
You see that everywhere. It's sort of the hook and you know, hey, $25 carton of paper. And they bring them in with that product. And then when they go to buy a file cabinet, they make their margin up.
Sure.
And that to me is just, it's just not sustainable. That's just the hardest part in my industry. I am now providing a sugar cane based paper
mm-hmm.
that is close to the price point. And that might be about a $45 per carton versus a $25. But I think the real thing to do with a company and with a business and even home-based businesses is look at the overall office supply expenditure. You can lower the overall expenditure. You can use soy print cartridges. You can use sugar cane base, which is even better than 100% post-consumer recycled paper, which can only be done 6 or 7 times. You're
right.
Still using trees. So tree-free paper, soy print cartridges, and then I'll go further into those other products and really slash costs and look at that overall, you know, where I'm making a margin, but I'm making a margin across the whole and making it on paper. It's not a lost leader on the
right.
eco-unfriendly products and then making it up on the other. So looking at the office supply expenditure across the whole, reducing that and then buying
instead of one item.
Exactly, exactly.
Right. Now, what about computers? I hear a lot. I know that Apple's doing a lot with making the computer more recyclable. Are you seeing more and more of that with the, you know, these more complex technologies?
Absolutely. You know, I think that's part and parcel of the recycling process and helping companies do that. It's really a time and effort. But the e-waste recycling is so important. And again, buying the computers that are made the right way with the recycled products that are using less energy,
right.
Energy Star rated printers, and all those type of machines are being made better and better and better, and just staying on top of that, buying the right ones that are made the right way, and then disposing of them at the end of the life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
Gosh, Lee, there's so much to know. There's so much to know.
It's a good thing this room's filled with smarter people than us.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, I love your blog.
Thank you.
Let folks know how they can read that and follow you.
Absolutely. Don't put a www in. I'm the only one that doesn't have that. But it's http with the / greenpages.indof.com. And Indof is a combination of industry and office. So it's INDOFF. Greenpages.indof.com.
You must put a lot of time and thought into your blog. I mean, whereas some people blog just a little bit all the time, when you blog, it's got a lot of meat. Like, I actually have to wait till I have time to sit down at the computer so I don't have to print it off.
Exactly.
And read it because I hang on every word. I learn so much every time I read your blog. So I hope our listeners will tap into that as well. So if folks want to know how they can engage you in making their office green through their office products, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at that website or jeff.hicks, H-I-X, at indof.com, either way.
Okay, terrific. You've always got a lot of things going on in the Atlanta community when it comes to going green. We hope our listeners will follow you.
Right, and it takes people like you that really make the community grow like this, so we appreciate your efforts in this area.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
Being here. Thanks,
Absolutely.
Amy. Thanks, Lee.
Thanks for all you do. Gosh, last but certainly not least, and we're ending with Sandra Cummins for a reason, because if you're listening to this show and your head is spinning going, there's just so much to know, Sandra Cummins can help you bring it all together with Southeast Green. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you, Amy and Lee. Glad to be here.
So, Sandra, you're the director of SoutheastGreen.com. Let us know what that's all about.
SoutheastGreen.com is the green website in Atlanta, Georgia, and the Southeast. And what we do is we offer a comprehensive resource website for people that are looking for ways to go green, whether at home or in the office, for people that are looking for businesses in the green business community that are offering the products and services that can help them go green. We offer event information. There are several events in Metro Atlanta that are focused on environmental responsibility and stewardship, and that number continues to grow. So we have a really comprehensive event calendar for people that are wanting to go out and support community events and trade shows. The website also includes editorial content, where we post articles about what the local business community and the nonprofit community is doing to also be green and encourage environmental stewardship.
So how's the community doing?
The community is doing great. One of the reasons I developed Southeast Green, along with our editor, Beth Bond, is because we saw all of these very positive things happening in Atlanta and in Georgia, a lot of communities coming together to be more environmentally responsible, and then hearing contradictory to that when we're out in the street. Oh, you know, the South is so far behind. Now, granted, we're not out west. We're not California
we're not Colorado.
Yet. We're not Colorado yet. We're not New York or New Jersey yet. But we're further along than people think. And that was one of the things I really wanted to
put
out
on
to the
positive.
Public. Yeah, the positives.
Right.
No, there's actually a Green Chamber, Lee. Did you know that?
No.
Tell us about that, Sandra. It's funny because everybody that walked into the show today...
They should all be members.
Well, no, a couple of them knew each other, but the cool thing is that everybody knew Sandra. Why is that?
Well, I do a lot of networking, as does Beth, out in the community to talk about Southeast Green and bring more people into Southeast Green, into the website, and use it as a resource. The Green Chamber of the South is a chamber of commerce of local green businesses. And several of the people here today are members. Jeff is a member with INDOF. Varis is a member. So-and-so Energy is a member.
Wow.
And it's this growing community of people that can, you know, business develop their businesses through networking with each other. And that is partly the goal of the Green Chamber. And then they also offer educational network workshops and seminars as well.
Wow. And then how is this embraced by the community, the business community in general?
It's embraced because you've got some local chambers of commerce that are now also breaking off and having a green committee or a green task force as part of their
right.
local chamber. And then you have others that are
really
you know, busy
it.
With their local,
right.
you know, overall objectives as a chamber. And this is very specialized. So if you want to give back to the community as a Chamber of Commerce does in a, you know, environmental sustainable way, this is an opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of articles available on your website as well regarding environmental responsibility and conservation. It's a great website. Can you give that one more time?
It is southeastgreen.com, www.southeastgreen.com.
And how long has the website been around?
This version of the website has been up just about a year. Mm-hmm. We launched the second edition at the end of September last year, and our growth has been fabulous, and it's just a wonderful, it's been a wonderful adventure.
Is Atlanta the hub of it? I know you're here in Atlanta, but are people in the entire Southeast kind of embracing it?
Atlanta is the hub of it, and as we've established ourselves over the past year, we are now reaching out to include other communities, Birmingham, Alabama,
right.
Asheville, North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida.
Great.
Terrific. And do you plan to go other places in the country?
Is there going to be a Northeast Green?
Yeah. You're going to keep it
Midwest Green?
We would love to do that. We would definitely love to do that. We don't really see any other. There's a lot of green websites out there.
Yes.
But the focus on posting editorial content, actual news, what's
right.
happening in the community
local,
we're not seeing.
Localized. That's a key.
Yeah,
and it's so important to link the business professionals as well as the consumers to all these resources because, like I said earlier, I mean, people's heads start to spin. It's like, I want to go green, but I don't know where to start. So going to your website would definitely be a great place to start. Now, folks that are already green and are engaged in this show because they are wanting to be guests on the next Going Green show and have listened to this point, how can they reach you to maybe engage on the website as sponsor or whatever kind of opportunities you might have available?
They can email me at sandra@southeastgreen.com, and my contact information as well as Beth's is on the website as well.
Terrific. Lee, any other questions? This has been great.
No, my head's spinning. Can't wait till the next. We'll have to do it next week.
Oh, no, not next week, but I think next quarter. So if you're listening now and you have a nomination for someone for the show, the next Going Green show, I think will probably
I'm
be
sure,
in November.
Sandra can fill up your schedule in about a minute.
I'm sure she could. Sandra, thanks so much for being with us today. And you have so much to share about the green environment in Southeast Green. Thanks for being with us today. Lee, we're out of time.
Out of time.
Way out of time, but thanks. Gosh, this has been great.
Yeah, great guest.
Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show.